Very good morning to you on Fellowship Day 980. We're back a mere 10 days after the last episode of the Read Indeed podcast. Back then, it was one of those rare but enjoyable audio essay episodes. I took one of my recent articles, narrated through it to turn it into an episode of the podcast. I've done that in the past with blog episodes and so on. If you haven't listened to that episode of the Read Indeed podcast yet, day 970, compare carefully to manage your inner imposter. That's there waiting for you. Today will be no such episodes, back to the regular ad-libbed, not quite sure what I'm going to say, mumbling until I get to some sort of crystallised nudge or provocation or consideration for you to take away at the end of today's episode. But the mumbling, I hope, will not take on too long a statistical tale today, because the thing I wanted to record an episode on was based on several interlinked conversations I've had with various individuals recently, and it's all been through the lens of some pretty long-term reflection, looking back on from the seat that I'm in now to wondering if I could ever predict how I got here, and more importantly for today, how long it would take me to get here. So breaking full cover on this episode, not to date it, but to date me, I sit here recording into my microphone talking to you during my 36th year on this planet. If you've ever seen me in the flesh or even in a photograph, my balding dome would put you in a position to be forgiven for thinking I was maybe even 10 years older than that, but 36 I am, and it's through that point in my chaotic, parent-focused, career-building mid-30s that I'm now getting asked to look back more and more on various bumps in the road, stepping stones along the way, and comparing those as they happened, as it played out in the real world, to whatever I might have predicted or, I dare say, planned in much earlier days. I say that I've been asked to do this. What I mean by that is, yes, there's the odd podcast interview here and there, but more importantly and more regularly, it's having more and more opportunities to speak to students or early career people who are perhaps a decade younger than me, maybe even more so. Especially when the thing that always takes you aback, thinking about that line of inquiry, is, you know, in my head, as a card-carrying millennial, I still think the 90s were yesterday. But now when I see people coming to chat to me who have dates of birth into the 2000s and pretty comfortably into the 2000s, at this day and age, it's actually genuinely shocking, and it makes me empathise with the point that you often hear from much older people who say, like, I'm maybe 60 or 70 now, but I still feel like I'm in my 30s, I still feel like I'm in that version of myself. And behind that reflection from older people is often a little tone of understandable frustration. It's like, I still feel and want to do everything I did when I was in my 30s. I just happened to be trapped in this rather more rigid, less flexible, more fragile frame 30 years further down the line. Anyway, I got there somehow. I told you this was ad-libbed. The tangents that you go on sometimes are as shocking as the revelation that you're no longer in the version of your body that your head tells you that you're in. But anyway, that's where I am. I'm at a stage where I am starting to look back, and doing so not to take every excuse to tell my story, but give others a chance to find theirs, sharing the important bits of what I've realised, but without, pretty much like the podcast, without or deliberately trying to halt myself from turning it into a piece of advice. Oh, you should do this because I did that. You know, that's the most annoying thing in the world, to put a fine exaggerated point on it. It's not about giving out the advice. It's about telling a story so that others can connect the dots between your story and theirs in a way that makes most sense to them, and that can be most practically turned into action by them, rather than them just blindly following advice from you. That's not responsible for me, and it's not responsible for the person who's looking to make that next step, who happens to be in an earlier stage of career development than you are. So, long way round to saying that as part of all of these reflections that I've shared in conversation recently has been an ever clearer definition of a concept around how things have taken oftentimes longer than I expected they would. But boy, am I glad I ever started in the first place. Because it's not simply that certain things along the way, certain targets, certain goals, certain ambitions have taken longer. It's that if I hadn't started when I did, the up ramp towards achieving that goal might be so long as to outlive me or any attempt to actually get anywhere close to what I thought might have taken a year, but could in fact have taken 10. So before I clarify what I mean by that, some meat on the bones, some examples, maybe a example. I'm sitting at near the end of the first phase of my current fellowship, the thing that I used to catalyse starting a podcast in the first place. So I'm 4 years down the line from starting it, but getting it at all was something that took about 5 more years than I had planned. I was naively and in many ways hopelessly ambitious in my early to mid-20s, very much picking up on themes I spoke about when I was writing about imposter syndrome and the imposter phenomenon. I had grown up in various environments where I was believed to have been the smart one, singular. Always had the self-imposed pressure to be really clever, to do well at school. And because of that, when things started to get more serious and more independent as I built my career in my 20s, I carried with me the assumption and the stress that I had to get out from my mentor's wing as quickly as possible. I had to keep applying for positions and fellowships and be the person to get to that next stage of my academic career earlier than most. It absolutely didn't play out that way. And only now, looking back, I'm glad it didn't. Because what it taught me was the following. You have to start now, because you have no idea how long the induction period is. So many of you will be chemists. You might be one. But many of you might be coming from an entirely different walk of life. So those of you in chemistry will know what I mean by induction periods pretty much instantly. But to flesh that out a bit more, what I mean by that is when we talk about it in chemistry, then what we're meaning is that there is a slow increase, a very gradual walk up a hill at the beginning of a process. But it's only by looking at the fullness of the process that you realise that that very gentle incline was a warm-up before a really abrupt, surprising, steep and rapid incline that was coming some way down the line after that first gentle increase in steepness. So it starts gentle, then there's a really sharp rise, and then it flattens off again. So when I'm thinking about induction periods from a career perspective, what I mean is that if I didn't start when I did, I would never have realised how long that induction period is up to the sharp point that I thought would come immediately. That is, that by starting, I was able to give myself the time to walk up that entire induction period, the gentle hill, before I got to the really steep climb that was the rise, or the final rise rather, towards the successful outcome that I was aiming for in the first place. I realise how much I'm garbling this. I might even, in the accompanying blog on the podcast webpage for this episode, give some sort of visual, or maybe even a little cartoon, to distill what I'm trying to get out of my head here. So I'm carrying on that example of, like, the position that I'm in now is, to put it very loosely, the end result of 5 more years of work than I originally and naively thought it would take. So now when I'm talking to others who are not at the process of starting a journey towards a goal, but actually wrestling with whether or not you do it at all, well, I try to give them the space to figure it out and let that penny drop for themselves, I'm usually the grammar police, but I can't figure that out when I'm on this line of inquiry, this stream of conscious at the moment, so I'm going to keep going. When I'm listening to someone who's wrestling with whether or not they should start or take the risk to have a punt on a particular goal or ambition or direction to explore, experiment with in their career, I find a way to quietly urge them, or better yet, find a way to make them quietly urge themselves that they absolutely should. They need to do it, and they need to do it now. Why? Because what they can't see yet, which I can only see clearly, because I've got the benefit of hindsight and a balding head, and the claim that I'm a millennial, not Gen Z, is that they are standing at the start of their induction period. They are at step zero on the on-ramp, which might take a very, very long time to get anything close to steep and to get anywhere near the top of the mountain that they think is a molehill. Everything worthwhile is probably likely to take longer than you think it will. So why not start now? Because if you don't, when you eventually convince yourself that you can, that induction period, that gentle hill before the steep incline, might outlast you. And what I've said on many an episode of the Read Indeed podcast, one of the things that really drives me, beyond being able to see the fact that the induction period is part of the aging process, is part of the journey towards the ambition that takes longer than you think, the other thing that drives me is that if I had to get to the end and have an induction period that never inclined towards a goal, if I had allowed things to drag out and procrastinate to the point that I'm never ever going to even have a chance of seeing if I could succeed or fail, the regret of never having tried is always, always, always going to be more painful than looking back on mistakes that you've made or the multiple failures along the way. At least you were on that hike. At least you were stumbling over stones and rocks and getting your hands dirty and standing up again and trying ever more to get towards the steep climb that was the most enjoyable slog towards your ambition. If all of a sudden things stop and you're still on that gentle little slope, the induction period of it all, that's going to come with the pain of wishing that you had started earlier. So I said examples, but I'm getting towards a neat conclusion of the episode, and I'm going to leave it there to then, as always, turn the tables to you and think, what is it that you're looking forward to now? What are you wrestling with that you haven't yet started? How might you start that thing sooner if you consider how long the induction period might be? As a reminder, as I wrap up the episode, on every podcast page on my website, dr-marc-reid, com. If you go to the podcast pages, there's a form that you can fill in at the bottom of the podcast page that's just below the podcast accompanying blog, where you can send me a question or a comment based on the episode. If you're so daring, you can even upload a little audio clip of you asking your question or sharing your comment. And if I get any of those ever again, I'll make additional podcast episodes that are all focused on answering your Q&A. I think we've had about 3 of those episodes in the entirety of the podcast series. But those forms will always be there if you fancy reaching out. But for now, thanks again for listening. Take care, be well, and get on that up ramp, because you don't know how long the induction period will be. Take care, and I'll see you again soon for the next episode of the Read Indeed podcast. Bye for now.